All righty, let's turn to Exodus chapter 24 here tonight. Exodus 24, that's where we'll mainly be. Exodus 24. Obviously, the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness at this point. They are currently at Mount Sinai, and the Lord's going to call Moses up to him. He says in verse 12, Exodus 24, 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us till we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. The seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of all the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, I pray that you might encourage our hearts here tonight. And you plainly call Moses up into fellowship with thee, Father, for a reason. And we're reminded that we are called to fellowship with thy Son, Jesus Christ, but by him. And we're glad to have the opportunity to come within the veil by a hope both sure and steadfast. And Lord, we pray that you might help us to endeavor to know the God of our fathers, Lord, and to know his Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me do a little tracking here to begin. This is actually, as I figure it, Moses' fourth trip up the mount. The Lord calls him up in verse 12. Go, if you will, back to chapter 19. And I can easily track about four or five trips, different trips, up the mountain to the Mount of God that Moses made. In chapter 19, for instance, verse 1, "Then the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob." So that's one trip up the mountain. Look, if you will, over in verse 14. "And so Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes." Then again you read in verse 20, "And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." So he's already made two trips already, right? Look in chapter 24 now, 24 verse 1, "And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." So they went part way up. And now in verse 12, the Lord says to Moses, come up unto me unto the mount. So there's at least four times there, and we'll see yet another one here in a little while. Now, this time reading through my Bible, there was something that jumped out at me, as it sometimes does, and it was found in verse 12 where we started, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount." And what flashed across my eyes there and just jumped out at me a little bit was, he then says, "and be there." And so let me preach to you for a little while tonight about "and be there." He says, Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And Moses may have said, well, what time should I be there? And there was no answer. Just be there. Right? He might have said, how long will I be there? And there's no answer. Just be there. Is there anybody else going to be there? No answer. You just be there. How exactly do I get there? Shut up. Just be there. And You know, that just struck my mind, my heart there a little bit. And so I was thinking, well, this is a little bit reminiscent of the fact that the Lord plainly leaves some servants behind to watch the vineyard. He gives them a pound apiece, and he says, occupy till I come. It's a little like that, but it's not going to track very well side by side. I'm just wanting you to see that the Lord told Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And so that sprung some thoughts in my mind along that way. First of all, let me tell you that Moses was known especially as the servant of the Lord. Sometimes he was known as Moses, the servant of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord said, Moses, my servant. But 41 total times, Moses is specified as the Lord's servant, the servant of the Lord. And the Bible further says in Hebrews that Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. Okay, so he was a servant. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, furthermore, that the Lord knew Moses face to face, unlike anybody else that he knew in Israel. That Moses got to go talk to God as close and as close to face to face as you could get. And that was Moses' lot. Now, let me take this to the New Testament just a minute. Let me have you hold your finger in Exodus 24. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because this is a type of our fellowship with God. The Lord knew Moses face to face. And I know that you haven't seen God face to face. You will one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're saved. But it said, does say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, if I can find the right place, says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if I'm reading that right, if you're saved, you're in Christ, and He's in you, and what the Lord is interested in doing is shining the light into your darkness so that you can eventually see the face of Jesus Christ, the glory of God in your heart. So in that regard, it's a little bit akin to Moses knowing God face to face. I can tell you this, we've discussed this an awful lot if you're a visitor. Maybe this sounds different to you, but a Christian has both a standing and a state before God. And your standing is to be perfectly saved. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Lord did, by my count, 33 different things for you by which you are saved. The Bible says you are complete in Him. And the Bible says, according to this particular promise, that He has made us Christians, to sit in heavenly places in Christ. You say, one day I want to go to heaven. Technically, in standing, you're already there. You are in Christ now. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Your position in Christ, if you're saved, if you're born again, is that you are already there. And so in that regard, you know, you can say, well, by standing, I'm there already. But I'll tell you this, in state, there is this verse as well. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you the big picture will of God for your life, just real quickly. You wizened old veterans know this already. But for the case of somebody that might be new enough, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is our mediator. Christ is our advocate. And you were called, when you got saved, you trusted Christ as your Savior. The rest of your life, what you're called to labor towards is a closer fellowship with Jesus Christ. You're not called to try to earn your salvation or keep your salvation. That's a done deal. You are complete in Him if you're saved, right? But I tell you what you're called to do for the rest of your life is to seek His fellowship, to seek His face. It's about fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, with those things cleared up, here is Moses, and Lord's calling Moses up onto the holy mount to have fellowship with God. God wants to show him something. He says, Moses, come up unto me into the mount and be there. Be there, Moses. And so, by proxy, if you apply that to me, I'm saved. I've been saved for a lot of years. Well, I am already there positionally and standing. In God's mind, I'm already there. I'm in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But there's a practical side, and if you know anything about that practical side, it is a constant fight. It is a constant battle for you to labor to try to get quality fellowship with Jesus Christ so it's real to you. That's really the high calling of your life, is to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Well, Lord says, hey, Moses, be there. Okay, well, Moses got there, and me, I'm saved. If you're saved, you're there positionally, but that still doesn't really get you practical fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's a battle that has to be fought. And the real challenge for a sinner is to be there. The real challenge for a sinner is to get in fellowship with God through Christ and to have a vibrant, living relationship with Him so that He's real to you. Because you're real to Him. All right? And I say that to say this, you know, that's always been the challenge for sinners. Lord said to Adam and Eve, He says, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. So they both ate of the fruit. And you know what the Lord, the next thing that happened, the Lord is walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and He says, hey, Adam, where art thou? And I'd never looked at it this way, but Adam wasn't where he had been normally because he had fallen. And so that is the constant fight for a Christian, is to get in a position where you're in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So man has ever and always struggled with his fellowship with God through Christ, even when he's saved, even when he's eternally secure, even when he is a child of God, even when his salvation is complete spiritually, he still has to struggle in this life down here to have fellowship with God. And that's what this sermon's really all about. The Lord says, in effect, come up here and have fellowship with me. I have something I want to show you. Be there. So the title of the message this night is to be there. And there's a few lessons I'd like to pull out of this if I could. In verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. Let me just point out to you, first of all, that God called him there. God called him there. God called him to come there, to be there. God called him there. It's a personal call. It says in verse 12, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. Come to me. But he said personally to Moses. The appeal is personal. It's always been personal. Salvation is personal. And you have to accept it personally. Until you have salvation, you don't have a spiritual life. And so you get saved and now you're in Christ and you're complete in Him and He's imputed His righteousness to you by faith. Now it's your calling, really your high calling in life to be there, to personally get there. It is a personal appeal. The battle is personal. It's not about what somebody else achieves. It doesn't help that your mother and father were godly Christians with vibrant relationships with God. You have to fight that battle yourself. You have to pray. You have to read. You have to take what you hear in church and do something with it. It's a personal battle. You win or lose, and it's your personal failing and your personal success when you do win or lose. But it's a very personal thing. The purpose of your Bible reading is not just to fill out the card and read so many pages or so many chapters. It's to absorb what you've read. Do something with it. Your prayers are not just prayed because you have some rosary beads, and we Baptists are even bad about this, where you start just nailing off the prayer list and blah, 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 blah. It's not much better than a rosary. It's not supposed to be that way. This is supposed to be something personal between you and God. Then by the time you fold in all of your failings, your health care issues, the trials and troubles that come in life, what those things are supposed to do is to drive you to a place where you know you need God. You are to be there. He said, "Hey, Moses, come up unto me in the mount and be there." Be there. Moses, God wanted fellowship with Moses. Be there where God was for Moses and where God is for us. Did you notice that when the Lord called Moses, he called him in Genesis 3, that God went to Moses into the burning bush to call him. Now Moses is called to go to God. Jesus Christ came to us at his first coming to Calvary. He's the one that traveled all the distance. You didn't travel any distance. Now that you're saved, you're called to go to him. You're called to be there. He says, come. He says, come and be there. That is pretty much the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me take you to a verse. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, real quick. Now, this whole passage is deep, and I'd have to be careful not to go into it and just preach it. But you notice that Paul says this in verse 9. Well, no, let's go ahead and start with verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul lost his career. Paul lost his relationship, probably with his family. He lost his professional relationship with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was their enemy from there on out. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, having received Christ as my Savior, I have the righteousness of God by faith and by faith alone, and that's what I want. Then he says in verse 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He said, what I really want is to know him. What I really want is a vibrant fellowship with him. With that said, look down in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is not for you to build a church of 10,000 people. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is not for you to make $1.5 million and be able to retire at 54. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is for you to know Jesus Christ on a practical basis. Okay? He says, come to me. Verse 12 of, I'm back in Exodus 24. He says, come up to me into the mount. I realize I'm not preaching on up yet. I'll get there in a second. Come to me into the mount, and he says, and be there. The entire purpose is personal. And we fail at it a lot, don't we? You know, I keep thinking back to Simon Peter, and the ship is storm-tossed, and here comes Jesus Christ walking on the water. And Pete says, hey, Lord, bid me come unto thee. Kind of like what the Lord said. He said, come to me and be there. And so Peter says, Lord, bid me come unto thee. And Lord says, that's a change. I'm not even having to call him. He said, well, come. And Moses got out and started walking on the water. But his eyes got distracted from all the wind and the storm and all those sort of things. And starting to sin, he started sinking. Isn't that pretty much your experience in walking with God. He bids you come, and you get up to go, and you take a couple of steps, and it's going pretty good. And then, if there's one thing that's true, distractions set in. I just want to say, God called Moses there. He said, be there. God called him there. There's something else I wanted you to see along this line. I'd like you to take note in verse 12 of Exodus 12:24. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Come up. Would you notice that Moses had to climb a mountain? He had to climb a mountain to get where God was because God is up. Lord says, come up unto me into the mountain. Do you know that heaven is up? Do you know when you got saved, he called you up out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay and set your feet upon a rock? Did you know that not only is heaven up, did you know that the right way is always up? Did you know that light shines from above? I'm talking about heavenly light. I'm talking about God's light. It shines from above. It is up. Did you notice that God, since the fall of Adam, has always tried to elevate man? And he has called him up. He tries setting man up. He raises him up. He lifts him up. He trains him up. He rescues him. He keeps setting him up, and man keeps tumbling down the hill. I just want to say that whatever else can be true, this endeavor for you, you know, if you're saved, salvation is free. Salvation's a gift. You don't have to do anything but receive Christ as your Savior by faith, because you couldn't have earned it anyway. But the battle then really sets in, because what you're called to labor to do from that point is to have fellowship with God through Christ. And for that to happen, you have to be elevated. You're going to have to essentially climb a mountain. It's hard work. It takes a lot of effort. He saves us. He set us in Christ. That's positional and that's free. That's a gift. But Moses, to get to fellowship with God as he needed to, as God called him to, he had to climb a mountain. So do you practically. You will find soon enough how many of you have found that are saved. How many of you have found that getting saved was easy? Fellowshipping with God is harder. Okay, I'm talking about a habitual thing. Now, so Moses had to climb the mount. Now, that's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of work to climb a mountain. I'm not a mountaineer, so I don't even know. All I know is one time we were in Missoula, Montana. I preached for Brother Havman. And is it University of Montana's there? Or whichever. There's a university there. And it's a hill. But it's a big hill. So it's kind of a mountain. It has a big M up there. And so I preached for Brother Havman through Sunday. And we're going to hang around through Monday. And it's my day off. And Marcy says, can we go climb the mountain up to the M? I said, it's my day off. I ain't climbing no stinking mountain. She says, honey, please. So we wind up climbing the stinking mountain. And you know, it doesn't look that far up there. It's kind of high. And they just have, you know, this trail going up. You don't climb straight up. You know, you do the whole switchback thing like this. So you, for each 7,000 feet you walk, you get about 4 feet of altitude. It took weeks to climb that stinking mountain on my day off. When we got up there by the M and sat down on a bench, and she said, isn't this nice? I said, yeah, right. So I want to say I'm no mountaineer. And I don't really like climbing mountains that much. I'm a big guy, and, you know, it's little scrawny guys that climb mountains. And I would never consider going to Everest. I've seen pictures, I've seen movies, and I already breathe hard when I think about it. I already am feeling oxygen deprived just thinking about getting up to 25,000 feet. So, you know, I'm not a mountaineer or anything like that, but I know this. I know it's a lot of work. I know it's hard on a guy. And Moses, I know this is a type. This is a type for us. It's a similitude where Moses going up to fellowship with God had to climb a mountain. And you'll find that one of the hardest things in the Christian life is for you to get yourself in a position where you can climb the mountain and have fellowship with God. Because it just takes a lot of effort. There's just an awful lot of putting yourself down and forgetting some other things that, you know, intrude and just climbing the mountain. By the way, it's a little more complicated than you might think. You'd think that just fellowshipping with God wouldn't be a big deal. Just close your eyes and, you know, be there. I wish it was that easy. What you find is that a lot of the world intrudes and there's a lot of things that go on. Your mind is busy. Just and when I go to prayer, my mind goes into overdrive and like that, and I wind up not even praying. I wind up thinking about all this other stuff. Okay? But did you notice here in verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me up the mountain. Now it says into the mountain. Have you ever driven through the mountains? We were at Pikes Peak here last summer. Joseph and Marcy and I drove up Pikes Peak most of the way until we chickened out. And until the wind got pretty high, and it was we can turn around now. But we went to Pikes Peak. And, you know, you think it's just a big mountain and you're just going to go up the mountain. But no, it's more of like a mountain range. You know, you have to cross saddles and you go down in order to get to a place where you can go up and all that. It's just more complicated. You think of what do they call those? They call it a pass, a mountain pass. Where, you know, the mountains are high and you have to find just the right crevice to pass through and so on. And you think of it being, well, I'm on this side of the crest and then I'm on that side of the crest. It's just a short distance. No, there are some passes that are 25 miles long. It's more intricate than you would think. It's a lot of work. It's quite involved. Getting there. Lord says, be there. It's just not that simple. It's not that simple. It is a lifetime proposition. It is a long, hard climb. And you'll spend the rest of your life probably, mostly disappointed as you strive to find the right kind of fellowship with God. And you know what he says still? He says, even though you're going to climb a mountain, be there. Moses says, be there? You're telling me I just climb a mountain. And by the way, he made him climb the mountain more than once. But, well, just be there. Well, when do you want me to come? Be there. Shut up. Be there. there's something else I'd point out here. He had to wait there. It says in verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Just be there. Well, what time do you want me there? And, you know, how long will I be there? He said, just be there. And, you know, by the time you get down to verse 18, you find out that Moses was there 40 days and 40 nights. I learned from that Moses had to wait there. He had to spend some time there. Be there, says the Lord. He didn't say how long you would be there. He didn't say how long it would take to get there. I don't know what Moses expected when he got to the top of the mount. I know the lightning was flashing, the thunder was rolling, all those things. I'm not sure exactly what he expected, but he got up there, and the Bible says he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you just take your Bible from here we are in Exodus 24, the Lord starts talking in chapter 25, verse 1, and the Lord keeps talking all the way through Exodus chapter 32, verse 7, where by this time, because Moses has been gone so long, the children of Israel have gotten themselves into a mess, and they have made themselves gods. And so at that juncture, from Exodus 25:1 till chapter 32, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Okay, so you have the Lord talking from chapter 25, verse 1, all the way through chapter 32, verse 7. Well, that's several chapters, but that's not 40 days and 40 nights worth of talking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I started reading right now, we could read it out loud. We could probably get through that in about 30 minutes. So what did Moses do for 40 days and 40 nights? In the first place, it says here in chapter 24, I noticed, and down around verse, where does it say that? Verse 16, that the cloud covered the mount 6 days. And apparently Moses is just sitting there 6 days, the cloud covering the mount, and every thunder and lightning going off, and just sitting there watching the show. And it wasn't until the 7th day that the Lord called Moses out of the midst of the cloud and talked to him. Moses is spending a lot of time just waiting there. Just waiting. Just sitting there. I don't know what he did with all his time, but I know this. I've learned that you don't just bow your knee and close your eyes and get in the presence of God and get business done and then go. It's not a fast food delivery service. You have to spend time at it. It takes a long time for me just to get myself in a position spiritually where I feel like I've confessed my sins to the God I'm trying to fellowship with, and where I feel like through Jesus Christ I have ground to come and talk to Him. And then there's all the things that cross my mind of all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and that kind of gets into the next thing, so I'm not going to say much about that right now. But he had to wait there. He had to spend some time there. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights, and there's only five or six chapters that are even there, and there's nothing happening but God talking. So what all is Moses doing there? I don't really know. I just know it takes time. If you want to have fellowship with God, you're going to have to spend time at it. You're going to have to spend time in prayer. You're going to have to spend time in your Bible. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take effort. It's like climbing a mountain. It is not simple. It's a little mysterious. And it may not be when you get there like you think it would be when you imagined getting there. I want to say this too. Notice that and this comes from just knowing how things go. I imagine it was hard to stay there. Lord says, come up unto me into the mount and be there. And Moses went into the mount. He climbed the mountain. He's there 40 days and 40 nights. He's there. And, you know, it had to be hard to stay there. For Moses, it had to be a distraction of mind and heart. After all, Israel is back down the mountain. And that's his responsibility. That's his people down there. And by the way, they have murmured and chowed and griped, and he has a mixed multitude down there, and he knows as long as he's gone, he knows there's trouble brewing. And yet he's spending time with God in the mountain. It's hard to stay there. His wife, his children, his family are down there. And while he's gone, they're left fending for themselves. This thing with climbing this mount, this thing with being there, fellowship with God, it's distracting. It's hard to stay. It's hard to go back day after day and spend quality time because there's so many things that vie for your attention. How many things you have to do? I need to pay this bill. I've got to go run and do this errand. And there's just, for me, it's that way. Every single morning when I get up, I have to fight those things off just to pray. It's hard to stay there. And yet the Lord says, you be there. He must have climbed the mountain with a divided heart. All the things he needed to do while that he's leaving behind that are being left undone while he's up doing this thing with the Lord, climbing this mountain. He must have wondered why it was so important for him to come up there. He must have known that some things would suffer, but God said, be there. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, besides the travel time, he was there. And then being there, as we just read in Exodus chapter 32, because the children of Israel got themselves in trouble, the Lord says, okay, you can go back now. Verse 7, 32:7. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. He says, okay, you can leave now. And so Moses left, but then he had to come back. As I said at the beginning of the message, you know, this was the fourth time up the mount. Well, that's not the last time up the mount. Look in chapter 34. Because he came down the mount because Israel got herself into trouble with idols, right? So he comes down and they have this, you know, this showdown, winds up killing some folks. God judges his people. Then in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. You broke my tables. So now you hew the tables and haul them up the mountain. Because, verse 2, and be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. So he's calling him back up again. He says, okay, chapter 32, go back, go down. Go take care of the problem. Chapter 34, okay, come on back up. Okay, that, by my count, is the fifth time up the mountain for Moses. Okay? So it's not just that God calls him there. It's not just that he had to climb a mountain to get there, and then he had to wait once he was there, and that it was hard to stay there because of all the other duties and responsibilities back down the mountain. It's also the fact then he had to return to the mountain again and again. He had to go through the whole process of climbing and leaving important things behind and saying goodbye to the wife and kids, and I'm not sure how long I'm going to be gone. I know I was gone 40 days and 40 nights last time. I don't know how many more days it'll be this time, but I'll let you know, and you'll see me when you see me, that kind of stuff. Well, this is done five separate times. There's a lot of time and energy spent climbing this mountain only to have to go back down and start over again. And here's what I found. I found that I get to the mountaintop and the Lord doesn't have to send me away. I go away myself. I go through the effort and climb the mountain, and sometimes more successfully than others, finally get to a spot where I have fellowship with God, and then I find that I have to go back because duties call and distractions and all those sort of things. And so I just wind up having to climb the mountain over and over again. And in fact, it just seems like kind of a perpetual, lifelong occupation. And that's really what I'm trying to get across here tonight, is that for you to have the fellowship with God that you want, you're going to have to work at it and fight for it every day of your life. And sometimes you fall off the mountain and roll down the hill and then have to get back to your feet and find the courage and the wherewithal to climb it again. It is one of the most frustrating things about the Christian life. Being saved is not frustrating. Being saved is easy. But boy, the high calling of fellowship with God and, you know, having the kind of intimate relations with Him that He wants to have with you spiritually, that is hard, laborious work, and it takes a lifetime of struggles and lost battles, and just a few won battles. But it's a continual, lifelong thing. And the Lord said to Moses, He says, you be there. My brethren, it's your call to be there. It's your call to get there. You are called to fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about, you know, just coming and raising your hands in some little charismatic-y type service and, you know, oh, Jesus, 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 and boy, that's good. I'm not talking about that. That's not what this is about. This is about you finding a place where you and the Lord have intimate fellowship around the Word of God and around the truth, and it's not about some frenzied bunch of nonsense about around a bunch of partygoers that are drunk on rock and roll. Thank you very much. I'm talking about a guy getting alone with God without a bunch of music going on, without a bunch of, you know, tambourines and people encouraging and, you know, who knows, even a little booze may be flowing. Not talking about that. I'm talking about you getting alone. Moses is alone on the mount. He left Joshua part of the way down the hill. It's just him and God there. And meanwhile, all these things are playing on his mind, all the stuff going on down the hill. He knows there are murmurers, there are chiders, there are gripers down there. He knows it's a mixed multitude. There's trouble brewing, and sure enough, there was. But God said, you be there. You be there. And one last thing to say. I would have you note there in chapter 24, verse 12, and I only want to encourage you to fight the fight, to have fellowship with God. It says in verse 24, chapter 24, verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And then he said, I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And he said, I'm bringing you up here just because I want to give you some words written on stone. I want to talk to you about some commandments, and I want you to go back and teach them. In other words, that's really what this was all about. And I would like you to think about the fact that maybe what your fellowship with God is all about is the prioritization of the Word of God. Let me show you this. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and then we're done turning, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Lord said to Moses back there in Exodus 24, he says, so you come up unto me into the mount. Be there. And I'm going to give you commandments. I'm going to give you a law. And you're going to take them back and teach them to the people. Okay? And that means that all of the struggle, all the mountain climbing, all the distractions that Moses had to fight through was to get up there in the presence of God and for the Lord to make the right impression on him regarding the words of God. You know, folks, they tell us that we are bibliolaters, that because we believe the Bible, that makes us idolaters of sort, that we've made an idol out of the Bible. You can't find that in the Word of God anywhere. What you find in the Word of God is that God always prioritized the Bible, the truth, over just about everything else. He calls Moses up. He says, leave what you're doing. Come up here unto me into the mount and be there because I want to write you some words and send you back down. It's all about the Word of God. Now look what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 real quick. You know this passage well. 8:1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now that's talking to Israel. We are not called to possess any land. We're Christians, not Israelites. But still, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. The entire lesson in the wilderness, everything from all the plagues and all the death and everything was to make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus Christ quoted that passage on the Mount of Temptation. thou shalt, you know, not only love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy strength, but that I might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. That entire scenario with God calling Moses from his duties, he had 2.5 million people down there that he was trying to keep in line. He called him from his duties and said, leave your wife and family, come on up to me, and furthermore, I'm going to keep you 40 days and 40 nights. Furthermore, I'm going to call you up here again and again and again and again. And it's all to teach you that man doth not live by bread alone. It's all to teach you that I want to give you words that mean something to you, and you're to take them down and teach them to those people. Everything was to prioritize God's words. Now you think of it this way. When you fall in love with somebody and undertake to get married, you want to spend the rest of your life with them. You want to know them. You want to know their thoughts. You want to know what they love. You want to know what makes them tick. And you know, most folks that are Christians don't really want to know all that the Lord thinks. They really don't want to know what makes him tick. Because every time they get in that close to him, he sticks them with something they don't like. He tells them a truth about themselves they don't like. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what this fellowship thing really, to me, is all about from this passage is the fact that the Lord wants to get you to a place. He wants you to want it. He wants you to climb the mountain. And you're going to have to climb the mountain more than once because you're going to fall off. And you're going to voluntarily leave. But you're called throughout the rest of your lifetime as a Christian to keep climbing that mountain, to set aside as much as you possibly can, get up there, spend as much time as you can with him, because what he's trying to teach you is that Christ came into this world to save sinners. He's your Savior. What is he called? He's called the capital W, Word of God. That ought to tell us something, ladies and gentlemen. This whole issue in life is to make us not only appreciate God and know him and appreciate Christ, the person, but it's to have us magnify and elevate the Word of God in our lives. So by the time this thing is over, you're supposed to be thinking like God thinks. And some Christians won't forgive me for saying this, but you're supposed to judge like God judges. But you're to have the same opinions that God has. Your responses are increasingly, as a Christian, supposed to become as you progress in life, more and more like God's responses and opinions. He said, hey, Moses, come on up unto me into the mount and be there. Now, brethren, you're supposed to be there. Plainly, he wanted Moses there. As soon as you can get here, get here. Okay, folks, I don't know where your prayer life is. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder where my prayer life is. I don't know where you're at with your walk with the Lord, but I know this. He wants you to be there. And Moses went up there and he saw God face to face. For 40 days and 40 nights, and this one occasion he was there. And he returned quite a number of other times, and you're going to have to return again and again and again for the rest of your life. Be there. Just be there. Let's pray. Father, pray that folks can get some